Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.
Again, happy 4th of July week to everyone. It's a pleasure for me to welcome back a guest we touched in with almost 2 years ago, Diane Dolinsky-Pekar. How are you this morning, Diane?
I'm great, Zara. Truth? Thank you for having me.
You bet. I assume you have your mojo, right?
I sure do, and a big dose of it.
I love it. In fact, let me introduce Diane. She's, as she signs off every email with indefatigable creative energy, she's the co-founder and current Jill of everything at a unique blog called mojo40.com. It's mojo40.com for those of you streaming. Launched in November 2010 from Irvington, New York area, Mojo 40 has now over 600 subscribers and nearly 5,000 unique visitors per month. Diane is approaching 10 years, in fact, in digital marketing and lead generation, has focused on the online world for the past 5 years. She's also a serial entrepreneur, having earlier built a successful food and beverage export firm. Her goal today, though, is to be a guide in a fun and lively way to strengthening careers and ensuring learning, doing, and creating well past our 40s. Mojo 40 is Diane's synonym for motivation and creativity to grow with professional confidence and know-how, and indeed something she knows about firsthand, having faced the same career issues that many of our listeners now face. Everything from the difficulties of finding a job or transitioning to a new career in difficult times, that sense of overwhelm, perhaps dealing with what seemingly is age discrimination given potential biases of employers, and really the need for solid, well-tested strategies then to build one's business network as well. So with Diane's expertise and her weekly emails offering tips and step-by-step guides to the trends, tools, and digital networks that you need to know, your motivation and creativity can grow along with your professional confidence and know-how. That is the mission indeed of Mojo40.com. So it's been a couple years. Are you still on that upswing, Diane?
Yes, in fact, we're growing.
Yep.
And what's so lovely about the internet is that people share, they pass, they recommend,
mm-hmm.
and you have evangelists out there even as you're sharing your content and being contacted by readers, they're going to their network. So it's terrific.
Well, and it has that multiplying effect, doesn't it?
Sure does. Absolutely.
Well, you know, I know one of the first pieces of advice you seem to launch every blog with, Diane, or every nuance that out is on your site, is to challenge readers or listeners to do one thing, and that is get started. Keep moving, right?
Exactly. Exactly. I think the first step is the toughest.
Mm-hmm.
And the point is having a partner or a guide will really put you in good stead. So my blog can be a guide. You can actually pick a friend or someone in your business network to work with. But the point is get started. Do one thing. See the success. And even if you make a mistake, learn from the failure. Because every failure leads you closer to success. There's actually a great story. The founder of Spanx, Sarah Blakely, growing up, used to hear at the dinner table every single week from her dad, what have you failed at this week? And that was a repeated question, and it really neutralized the sting of failing. And she went on to become the richest self-made woman in the world.
Indeed, with her products. And I think, you know, that aspect is its failures are just one of those stepping stones along the way. And, you know, certain family backgrounds or industry cultures or educational backgrounds don't necessarily allow us to embrace it. But on the flip side, you know, anyone who's worth their salt, particularly somebody who's close to the edge, you're going to step over the edge every now and then. And voila, that's all part of the process. Well, Diane, take us back then, and can you share some of the places that your blogging has taken you then over this past year and a half or so?
Absolutely. It's been incredible. It has led to speaking engagements. It's led to a gig as a journalist covering mm-hmm. business news, consulting opportunities, and many, many occasions to meet new people and build my own business network. For example, this past April, I was a featured speaker at a networking event for women in the electronic payments industry at their annual powwow in Las Vegas. And for me, it was an incredible personal high point because I just love helping other people gain confidence And I was speaking up there with a PowerPoint that was uber practical. And so many women came up to me afterwards, all enthusiastic. And, you know, it just went so well. But the blogging is also a way to get in touch with people that you otherwise wouldn't have met. Just as you're doing, Zara, having book authors on the program
and
so forth. I can interview people on my blog. I can meet small business owners and entrepreneurs, the hook being I'd like to write about you. I can contact directors and companies of interest. I can get free passes to conferences, you know, free books. It's really an incredible thing.
Well, and you know what? The way our society works with this, oh, I'm going to become a media figure as a result, no one will turn you down. In fact, my kids always laugh that they see, you know, when I head off on a business trip, I always stuff extra business cards in my briefcase in the front pocket. And they're like, yeah, she's trolling for radio show guests. We see it coming. And, you know, they're absolutely right, because that's where we seem to be the most open and opportunistic in sharing our stories as well. And so for you, but, you know, lest our readers underestimate that, Diane, you know, you're top-notch writer and journalist, and your portrayal of authentic, you know, heartfelt topics with some of this lift and zing, it's a very readable and enjoyable blog. It's not overbearing whatsoever.
Thank you so much. And in fact, perhaps, Zara, you'll agree with me, but the posts that I love best are the first-person interview ones.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the people that I've met, because once you've connected by slinging a message online, mm-hmm. what you need to do is take it to the phone call and or a cup of coffee at a local hotel or whatever it is. And I have met so many incredible people, and writing about them is like telling their journey. It's such a deeply humanizing experience. So if you're reading about a sexy guy in black spandex pants, believe it or not, you might be on Mojo 40. Or if you're reading about a woman who survived oral cancer and decided to make a broker dealership that was woman-owned, you also might be on Mojo 40. And, you know, as you say, I think it's presenting these stories in a lively way, which makes people enjoy the blog.
So you've been doing it now for a year and a half, and obviously you're a very sculptured writer and had been prior. Do you find then that your writing style, your techniques of interviewing, just how you're showing up, has it changed over this year and a half, do you think?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I have learned so much. You know, you might find this funny, Zara, but when I dig back into my past, I was told you're not a writer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not only that, but you start in an analytical way to pick apart what draws your attention in someone else's writing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are the sentences short? Are they catchy? How do they go? We're not writing corporate brochures when we're writing a blog. And I also have a professional editor who's incredibly astute. But the fact is, yes, one's writing gets better, and writing on the web is very democratic. So you have no lack of pointers how other people are doing it.
Tell me what you mean by that, very democratic. You mean in terms of, you know, the critique you get from others, or you get visceral reactions, yay or nay? What do you mean by that, democratic?
In fact, it's both. You get a lot of comments from readers,
mm-hmm.
and frankly, there are people who respectfully disagree, and
oh, yeah.
that makes you think more. But what I mean by democratic, and this would be useful to listeners, is that, you know, in the old days, if you wanted to publish, you had to write a manuscript, and you send it to agents, and there's this whole process. Boy, on the web, it can be so easy. You can just start a blog. Now, maybe that sounds crazy, but believe it. There must be a ton of videos on YouTube how to start a blog. There's the eHow site, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're not into starting a complete blog, here's a beginner's goal. I'm going to write one guest post. I'm going to identify a blog where it makes sense. The topic overlaps with the area I want to be an expert. Or I'm going to upload it to Scribd.com. I'm going to publish myself. The point is, publishing is the kind of thing like, you know, making yourself a glass of lemonade nowadays. Anyone can do it. I have a post out there called Why Your Best Personal Branding Strategy Demands That You Publish. And I really encourage readers to think deeply about it. You can do it in an automated way by making an online magazine with Scooply or Paperly. You can do it in a labor-intensive way by interviewing someone, mm-hmm. editing the video, and making it a vlog. you can do it as you're doing it, Zara. But actually, you will come across so much more savvy and confident by making it your goal to publish yourself, at least in a small way.
Well, and of course, in this digital world of ours, and for those listeners who are involved in a career transition, the first place any company goes to assess a candidate's authenticity is they go and they will search the person's name on the web. And thus, that's why it certainly is important to have yourself involved in some of the networking tools like LinkedIn and the like, but to also then have something pop up that's been hosted on another site or your own site, it really will reinforce that which is otherwise portrayed in a resume. Etc. Now, we should be careful, though, and remember that of all companies that look at that information, that over 50 to 60% of the people get discounted immediately from what is already out on the web. So that's why we have to also be careful from what the content is, or the classiness, right, or no spelling errors, you name it, because you don't want the wrong thing to get transmitted by blogging.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, if you're doing a personal diary, that I applaud, but that's not really what I mean by publishing. I mean publishing from a professional and personal branding point of view. Publish what you want to have reflected back, the image of you in the eyes of whether it's a hiring manager or a business alliance partner.
Mm-hmm. Or if you're in one industry today and you'd like to really transition over to a different industry, you know, I think that's what a lot of career shifters find the most daunting is, well, I've never worked in energy and alternative power. I've always been a car guy, or I've always been a veterinary science area. How can I go and penetrate that? And I love one of your advices, one of your blogs in this, is that you just get out and start collecting your own repertoire. Perhaps, like you say, go to a conference, interview a set of people, or just even critique the trade show. And therein lies the opportunity to get your name associated with a new venue.
Exactly. Exactly. In fact, I remember being in a networking meeting with older executives, and we went around the room. Each person gave short bio of what they've done and where they'd like to turn. And here's the point. If you want to get into a new industry or whatever, you know, if you have 2-3 articles published on it, you can put it in your signature. Not only that, but the same people in the industry you would like to send a cover letter and a resume will answer you much more quickly and be much more enthusiastic if you tell them your intent is to create a piece that's going to be published on the web, promoted, you know, on all the platforms. They can like it. They can add it to their press room page, their media kit. You're an independent person. You know, I mean, just think of that. Every business wants free publicity. Why shouldn't they want it from you?
Precisely. And like you say, and it was important, I think, for our listeners to hear, because this does take a lot of work to do routine blogging. But the fact, Diane, you've reached out and have a partner in this, an editor, who'll do that extra check, because you may not be motivated and inclined to do it because you've got all sorts of other things on your plate. So how you can
That's
do this
true.
In partnership with others.
That's true. And I actually have to say, because my blog is meant to help me professionally, I care very much about the quality of writing. And I have to tell you also, here's the ancillary benefit. I have become very close personally with my editor. She is several decades older. She was an award-winning medical editor. And my gosh, every time I send a draft post, the part of the email which says, how are you doing and this is my news, is longer than any other part.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think companionship and building that loving, carefully cultivated friendship is also one of the benefits of, you know, blogging or vlogging or podcasting or any of that.
You betcha. So have you kept track? How many blogs have you done in this year and a half?
I generally post every week.
Okay. Wow.
I'm sure I've written more than 75 posts. Mm-hmm. I've also guest posted.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
I have to take my own advice. But if you go to a blog with, say, 10 to 20,000 subscribers and you write a really well-written post, your name is often linked as the author, or maybe there's even some text which makes sense to backlink to something on your blog, and then you get streams of what's called qualified traffic. It's qualified in the sense they're reading a topic similar to what you blog on. They just arrived to a different place on the web.
Exactly.
So I have actually guest blogged in quite a lot of places too, And that's a great experience, too, because someone else reads your stuff before
sure.
it's published
it's
and gives you a critique.
Yep, and it's a totally different audience you might be trapping, and, you know, tripping into and trapping at the same time. you know, what, you know, every now and then, because I obviously do a lot of writing and obviously the radio show every week, every now and then I totally catch myself off guard and there'll be a segment or something I wrote that in the end takes my breath completely away. And I didn't know to expect it was going to happen. And it's not any stream of mindfulness. It just happens. So what have been some of those blogs that have totally at the end of the day, based on reaction from others, or even as you hit go, suddenly you realized that you're onto something? Maybe the most gratifying ones for you.
Okay. I'd like to tell you about a post which was a profile of how I answered a reader's question.
Mm-hmm.
I'd written a post about creativity, and somebody hit the button and said, in my organization, what usually happens is the young people come up with these ideas and the older folks shoot them down. I'd like to read something about how you incorporate new ideas as well as make it acceptable, you know, in a large organization.
Sure.
So what a great question. I mean, anytime you have more than two people working together, you can have that. So I went to LinkedIn Answers. Now, if you readers or listeners want to know where that is, if you go across the nav bar right under More, there's a little triangle. Click that so it opens up. You'll see Answers. That is an incredible resource for business development. When I say business development, I really mean if you work for a company, you're a consultant, you're a freelancer, whatever, people are posting questions and tagging the category, whether it's financial services or change management or whatever. You can answer the questions. It doesn't take long. You do it from, you know, your desk at home or in your office in your free time. You could do it on the train from your mobile. The point being, the people asking the questions might be looking for the services of your good company or your product. And in any case, they're taking the time to answer a question. There's a reason why they want to know about that subject. And you have a great opportunity in a casual way to show your know-how. Anyway, I put this question up. I got about 18, 20 answers. I picked the best. And the best one was from a guy named Ken Larson. He was an incredible resource. I talked to him one night from the Veterans Home in Minneapolis. This guy has had such an incredible career. Two tours of duty in Vietnam, followed by 3 decades working for defense contractors, where he came upon just this kind of organizational behavior question. And he talked about pairing younger workers with older workers, but having them each have an area of accountability. And he also talked about how for the last 7 years he'd been giving free advice on his blog, right down to downloadable PDFs and personal phone calls, and he'd been helping small and medium-sized businesses win contracts with Uncle Sam. And he gave some real valuable accomplishments, everything from clients who had been able to get money to build housing in Haiti to clients that were able to clean up, you know, some of the streets in Kabul, Afghanistan. So I have to tell you, you know, back to your question, did you ever write something then when you reflected on it, it was incredibly meaningful? Just after I finished writing that post, I just was breathless. My editor was breathless, you know. I don't know if it comes through to everyone who reads it, but it really hit me deep in my heart.
Yeah, that's right. And the connectivity, the service to others, and if anything, also that man's story, Ken's story, is not unlike yours and mine, and that is this idea that so long as you stay in the space of giving and giving and giving, it's amazing what comes back to you. And it comes back to you in some of the most surprising ways, in little packages, big packages, in challenges, but that's okay when you're looking to help stretch yourself. Again, we've been speaking this morning with Diane Delaney Picard. Her site is Mojo40, that's MOJO40.com. And so what do you think the next post or the next big chapter is going to be for you, Diane, in the process here?
I have one that's uber useful to everybody. Easy ways to get paid.
Oh, boy.
When I say easy ways to get paid, I mean everybody knows you can use PayPal. Some people may not know how to go there, so I'm going to make it simple. But did you know you can use Moocash? and so forth and so on.
Right.
So again, whether you're working, whether you're not, take a look, subscribe to my blog, and the very first thing I'm going to tell you is how to get the moolah, ka-ching, ka-ching, coming your way.
I think that's a great one to close with. Again, happy 4th of July weekend, Diane Dolinsky-Picard. Thanks so much. We'll be in touch real soon.
All my pleasure. Thank you, Zara.
You bet. Take care.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.